Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB. I'm Mark Purzell. For more than 30 years, he worked as a photojournalist for the Cincinnati Enquirer, capturing the faces and history and pride of the tri-state region. Now he's sharing more than 100 of his most memorable and moving images and stories in a book titled Cincinnati Shadow and Light. Emmy Award-winning photographer Michael E. Keating is joining me in the studio. You can talk to him, too, if you call 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, post on Facebook, or send us a tweet at 917WVXU. Well, welcome and thank you for being here, Michael. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me here.
I have to begin with the story about how this book came about, because it's not that long ago that you retired, if you may, from the Cincinnati Enquirer, and here you are back at work already. What was the genesis of your book?
Well, I think the retirement lasted for about 20 minutes. When I left the Enquirer, I went to work for the Clyde Day Foundation. Mr. Day was a friend of mine, a neighbor of mine over in Northern Kentucky, and when he passed away at the ripe age of 104, it was left that he would like to have a foundation founded in his name and in his honor that would be a charitable giving sort of thing dedicated to children and to the arts. And we've been able to do that sort of thing. We have our offices in Newport. And we thought that that might be interesting in a way to kind of raise some money and raise awareness that we should do some projects. And I was approached by Greg Hord, another former Enquirer guy. It's an Enquirer Day here at WVXU.
Yes, it is.
To do a book. And I said, well, I'm not sure that I want to do that, just a vanity book. And he convinced me, he says, well, he says, let's have some conversations and let's see if there's a story there. He apparently found something that he liked. And by putting the book together and having the proceeds, or at least all the proceeds that come to me from the sale of the book, those things go to the foundation. So we figured that, that's something good that we could do, help push the foundation along, raise some awareness, and I got my vanity book.
Well, I want to talk about the book and some of the images there, but I also want to talk about Clyde and a neighbor of yours in Lakeside Park, Kentucky. For many years, he and his wife, good friends with you and your family, you spent holidays together. You spent a lot of time, a childless couple, with really you're carrying on his legacy with this project and everything you're doing with the foundation.
Well, I think one of the more interesting things about Mr. Day is that in addition to that long life, he was a smart guy, and he understood how to accumulate wealth, but he never spent much of it. So I like to think that we are now being responsible trustees of what he gathered over the course of his life, and that we're able to pay it forward a little bit. I have seen the faces on some of the people who've been beneficiaries of some of the gifts that we've given and in the ways that we've helped people. And I sure wish that he had been more benevolent in his living years so that he could have seen those smiles and of appreciation on those faces of the people that we've helped.
Well, I have to tell you and confess that I've been a fan of your photographs in the Enquirer for years, always, you know, seeing a picture and almost not even having to look at the byline and tell it was yours, Michael. But I was really touched with the pictures you took of Clyde late in his life because he was, 104 and still perking along. And I remember that series in the Enquirer and they had a whole bunch of accompanying material that was just super touching. I imagine that for him to have been as good a friend with you, that had to be difficult as a photographer and, well, as a friend and neighbor.
Well, during the last year of his life, his wife passed away. That was his second wife. He had outlived his first wife. She passed away when he was about 65, 66, something like that. And then he remarried, and then his second wife passed away in the months prior to him dying. She passed away in July, and he died in November of 2011. In that last year, she had moved into an assisted living facility, so Clyde wanted to live at home. that was one of his great wishes of his life was to die peacefully at home. He didn't want to be in a nursing facility or a hospital or anything like that. So I more or less took over the responsibility with his blessing and also the cooperation of his attorney, who's also in the foundation with me. Her name is Jan Kreutzer, a Newport attorney. And we were able to manage sort of make sure that Clyde had good health care in the home. He had nursing care. He had 24-hour care. I did his shopping. My wife and I did the shopping. We would go to the grocery store for him. And essentially, we were responsible for making sure that all of his needs were met in that final year. I also told him that what I'd like to do is to document that last year of his life. And he knew full well and was very much aware of the project that I was working on. And he used to always ask me, he said, "You know, Michael," he said, "who will care about this?" And I said, "Well, someone will, because we'll show them. And when we show them, they will care. And they'll care also, too, because of the way that the benevolence of Mr. Day is going to be shown going forward." So we just had an event this weekend. We were out at the Holly Hill Children's Services in Campbell County, and we were one of the sponsoring events for that. And we also made a generous contribution in buying some artwork that was created by the people out at Holly Hill. And we'd like to think that Clyde had a smile on his face because everybody was saying nice things about Clyde Day last Saturday night out in Campbell County.
Well, Cincinnati Shadow and Light, your the photographs of Michael E. Keating, the new book is a gorgeous collection of, you know, what I read, 118 different images through the years. How did you narrow down what had to be thousands and thousands and thousands of images, you know, through the years to decide what to include in this, as you said, this vanity book?
Well, I think that actually in my conversations with Greg Hoard that I talked about earlier, who wrote the foreword, we came to the conclusion that there were four things that really kind of influenced me in becoming... When I got to Cincinnati, I was in my early 20s, kind of, you know, reckless, rambunctious, ambitious, all of those kinds of things. And somehow or another, I managed to get to this point where I'm still ambitious, but maybe a little less rambunctious and that sort of thing. But the river was one of the things that has been a constant in my life. I grew up along the Ohio River in southern Indiana. The news that I covered, which we called Dispatches for the Field, that's sort of a sexy title for news, and the Reds. I played baseball when I was a kid. I didn't play it well, so I moved on. And the last thing were the interesting people and personalities, the characters that I met along the way. Some of those characters had dramatic and very interesting stories to tell, and some of them are just funny, colorful people that we see every day, and they're around us. And I hope that, you know, when I made a portrait of them, that it captured some of their personality.
Well, as I was reading and looking at the book, I was struck by some of those stories. The homeless couple, she's got a Budweiser beer, smoking a cigarette. He's leaning back, he's got a bottle of whiskey, chasing it with a Coke. And I guess from the story you say was they, you know, said, "Why you want to take our picture?" Well, look at you. You're living a life there, not a care in the world. But there are also so many pictures that, you know, didn't necessarily make me smile, but were bringing tears to my eyes. And you faced in your news reporting and your photojournalism so many instances. I mean, there's a picture of fire and rescue people pulling a dead body out of the river, you know, that was really touching. And it seems like you found a lot of joy, but you also found a lot of tragedy in your work.
Well, I think that that's sort of the play on words of the title. I mean, shadow and light; those are the two great elements of any photograph. But it's also sort of a reflection of the city. There are some shadowy, dark moments that have happened here in Cincinnati, and events that have surrounded them. And there are some of those lighter moments. The LMAO that everybody does now, you know, brings a smile to your face. My mission every day when I went to work was to try to find a picture. And I think overall, what I was able to do, some of the pictures that I captured along the way, and I want to tell you that Cincinnati is a blessed town. There are great photographers here. There has been a great photographic legacy in this town. When the Cincinnati Post was published and when it ceased publication, we lost access to a whole different view from the people that weren't there. But and now the people that still carry on their tradition at the Enquirer that I left behind, I mean, I still love them all, and there's some great folks there. So, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, anything's better or worse than the other. But what I tried to do every day was to show Cincinnati back to itself. In other words, if we could give them a picture to put in the newspaper, and people would look at it and they'd see something of themselves in it or something about their life, and give them a keener appreciation through their eyes.
How did it feel to have have the camera turned around at you? Because there's a lot of interviews with some of your former colleagues in here. Howard Wilkinson, who works here at WVXU now, a few words from him. And I was struck by how many photographers you know that went, darn that Michael Keating, how did he get that shot?
Bless them all. It doesn't matter what they say about you as long as they're saying something about you, because when they quit talking about you, you're generally not around anymore.
true. How did that feel, though? I mean, because you did have to, you're usually behind the lens revealing others, and this had to be a little bit revealing for you.
Candid. And true, you know, what people said in there is some of my good friend Glenn Hartong, he likes to always give me a little bit of a needle.
I noticed
and,
that.
and he, you know, he said, Michael didn't, how did that work? He didn't, he wanted to own the event. Well, you know, I guess maybe that was the way it was, but that's my personality. I think a lot of times that I would be with subjects and I would get to know them and really open myself up. And I think that led to a lot of people opening up to me and revealing me and allowing me to spend a little bit of time with them. And maybe in that time I was able to make a snap or two that told the viewer something about the people.
And finding that slice of time that's a little bit different. You had a picture, I think, Bill Clinton on the campaign trail and talking about, you know, in this day and age, how photo ops are, you know, not photo ops, they're staged pictures.
Absolutely. I mean, we had this very discussion this morning with a friend of mine about symbolism over substance. It's important to be seen. It's important to be seen as a leader, as a somebody who's up on a pedestal sort of thing. You know, you get that sort of godlike creature to them or godlike character to them, that you're looking up to them. They're to be admired and they're put in that position. And I think there's a photograph in the book, and this is great. Of course, we're talking about pictures on the radio. That's good. Imagine this if you would. But there's a picture of President Barack Obama before he was president, striding on down the catwalk in a stadium in Dayton when he was on a Southwestern Ohio tour. And he's a rock star there.
Yeah.
And he is, and that's how people perceived him, and why probably a lot of people voted for him, because he was inspirational and he's easy on the eyes.
A lot of inspirational pictures in here. What was the easiest one to decide to include? I mean, you have a great picture of Riverfront Stadium and all the fireworks going off. You have, you know, but we only have a few seconds left, so you can't think about it too long. But, you know, what was the easiest one to include?
The easiest picture in this book to include is the picture that's in the, it's in the precede to the actual chapters. It's of Marge Schott.
Oh, yes.
I loved Marge. Marge was straight. She was a straightforward person, and you always knew how she felt, good, bad, or indifferent. The opportunity was during a portrait session, and Marge always talked about the grand old men of baseball. And this portrait session was happening just before the World Series began in 1990, I think. And I looked at Marge when we were finished shooting the formal kinds of pictures. And I said, well, Marge, what would you say to those grand old men of baseball now? Hands up to the ears, thumbs in the ears.
Blowing them a raspberry.
Absolutely.
Well, Michael Keating, it's been a joy talking to you and always a joy to see your pictures. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks again, Mark.
Michael Keating, his new book is called Cincinnati Shadow and Light, The Photographs of Michael E. Keating, available where books are sold. Michael will be doing a signing at Joseph Beth Booksellers September 10th That's Joe Beth at Rookwood. All information about that appearance, the book, and Michael on our website, wvxu.org. The technical director for today's show was Bruce Ellis. Producer was Pete Reitmeier. With help from Kevin Reynolds, William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. Thanks to Janelle Gelfand and Cliff Peel for being here today, too. You can find more about Cincinnati Edition at wvxu.org. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. The Takeaway, on the way next.